I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, the Terry and Jesse Show. This is High Energy Catholic Radio. In fact, this Catholic Radio program, Terry, I can't see my partner. Terry, are you on duty?
I'm on duty, sir. I'm just invisible right now, but the engineer's working on it.
Okay, got it. Hey, Terry, speaking of high energy, I just want to say that I was pretty inspired by hearing the president's speech last night. Probably one of the best he's ever given.
Yeah,
I'm saying there's got to be a Catholic ghostwriter behind
those speeches. Yeah, too much.
Trust me. But Terry, let's get on with some soul food here, because we've got a great interview today. We got an old friend.
That's right.
That we want to just profile today.
Absolutely. And that's Mother Miriam. She's coming on the second segment, and we're gonna talk tomorrow about President Trump's State of the Union address, especially when he called Congress to ban late-term abortions. He says every child's a gift from God. We're going to go through the whole talk and then ask ourselves, is this standing up to Catholic teachings? And that's the question I want to know when I go to vote for people, my moral teachings.
Terry, I may be wrong, but I don't know. Is there a bishop that stood up to Congress and told him to stop?
Not that I'm aware of, but tell me, one of our listeners, tell us if we're wrong.
Or even a pope. I don't even think a pope has said that.
No.
Because popes have spoken to Congress.
That's right.
I don't think a pope has ever said stop late abortion. I don't think that's ever been said by a pope to Congress.
Tomorrow we're going to cover all that, though. That's a great point. All right, let's get to our gospel reading. Because, Jesse, tomorrow, man, we're going to cover that presentation the whole time. But, Jesse, this is the Gospel of Mark, and I'd love to have you read it. This whole Mark has been a spiritual warfare readings all weeks. I mean, a couple weeks of spiritual warfare readings, Jess. So go for it, brother.
So here it is. Soul food.
Yep.
Mark chapter 1, verse 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6.
Right.
Okay? And it's today's gospel. He went away from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. This is speaking about Jesus, he pronoun Jesus. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom given to him? What mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelief, huh?
Hmm. Well, when it says that he went to his own country, what's it talking about? It's talking about Nazareth. City of Nazareth is a small little city. It's in the Galilean. It's a Galilean village. It's in the province of Galilee, which is northern Israel, and that's where Jesus was raised. So this is his, this is his community where he was raised. And in verse 2, sometimes Protestants will say, "Well, see, Mary had other brothers and had other children." It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, not one verse, that Mary had other children. That's called eisegesis.
Yep.
That's when you pour in your Protestant interpretation into the biblical text, something that's not there. That's called eisegesis. You're pouring your prejudicial biases into the text. No, we're supposed to do exegesis, draw out from the text. And what do we know about this phraseology amongst the Jewish people where it says, it talks about Jesus's brothers and sisters. Well, according to the Hebrew and that culture, brothers and sisters is the way the Jews call themselves, even if they were distant relatives. And so the word brother and sister in the Hebrew culture, the time of the Old Testament and Christ, this is used in a wide semantic range. And the fact is, if you look down on the verse where it said, these are his kin. That's exactly what they are. Kinsmen means distant relatives. And the last point I want to mention about today's gospel is that Jesus was not without honor. What does that mean? Jesus, what he's doing, he's adapting a common proverb to explain his rejection by his people. Jesus is being rejected by the Jewish people. Back then they were called Israelites. Much like the Old Testament prophets before him were rejected by their people. And Jesus is persecuted and rejected for preaching the fullness of the word of God, much like the prophets before him. And Terry, we're going to be bringing somebody in called Mother Marian who could really identify with this verse.
Absolutely.
This is probably the most persecuted nun in my interpretation.
Oh, yeah.
Her and Mother Angelica in the 20th century were the most persecuted nuns because they were prophetic speakers. Terry?
Jesse, one more thing the Bible says about Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? See how he was, they just couldn't believe that anything good could come from Nazareth. So Jesus is not going to, you know, he's persecuted. Of course he is. Jesse, one thing I will say about Mother Miriam, she's coming on the second segment. We are now going to be carrying her show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
By popular demand.
Yes, and I've been working on that for almost a year now, and so I'm grateful to God. We've got that collaboration. Wait till you hear Mother talk. Boy, she's awesome. Jesse, I want to bring the smartest guy into the room right now and see if our new engineer today is going to be able to pull that one off. If not, I always say, get on board that choo-choo train with Bishop Sheen, because this man has got wisdom. So what does Bishop Sheen have to say about advice to priests? Not only to us. He says, the priest who has not kept near the fires of the tabernacle can strike no sparks from the pulpit. This is why Bishop Sheen told priests to have the daily holy hour. And I guarantee you, our priests, if they implement what Bishop Sheen has said, Jesse, about the daily holy hour, they will have sparks coming from their mouth. I'm a layman, okay? Now, my kids are all grown up, but I make a daily holy hour at, 5 o'clock in the morning before the 6:20 Mass, and I always ask Jesus to give me the grace to speak what he wants me to say, not what I want to say. And I'm telling you, all of us, make visits to the Blessed Sacrament. This is where we get our peace. This is where we get our firepower to spread the gospel. It's from the Eucharist. So that's my take on Bishop Sheen's comment for the Holy Eucharist, Jess.
Terry, today's a special feast day of St. Agatha, another virgin martyr.
Oh, yeah. Tell us.
And it's worth giving her a little platform here. Little's known of St. Agatha's historical life beyond the approximate date of her death, which was the 3rd century. And she was killed in Catania in Sicily, Italy. Because Agatha was reputed to have endured a torture by hot coals, she's invoked against damage by fire. And more recently, the tradition is that St. Agatha, this virgin martyr, that her breasts were savagely cut off by her oppressors, that's made her a favorite saint of those suffering from breast cancer. And as St. Methodius wrote, he said, quote, she achieved renown in the early church for her noble victory. She's well known now as she is well known now as well, for she continues to triumph through her miracles, which occur daily and continue to bring glory to her name. Saint Agatha, pray for us. And here's also something that she wrote herself. Saint Agatha wrote this, quote, Jesus Christ, you see my heart. You know my desires. Possess all that I am. I am your sheep. Make me worthy to overcome the devil. Saint Agatha.
Pray for us. On the light. There it goes, Joseph.
Okay.
I want to just mention something. We have a couple minutes before we get Mother on. I look at certain people in the church that are instrumental in renewing the church. And Mother Miriam's one, Mother Angelica's one. And so is Cardinal Seurat in his book, The Day Is Now Far Spent. Listen to what I have to say and then see how Mother Miriam is actually implementing the perennial teachings of the church. Cardinal Seurat says, some people would like the church to be transformed after the model of modern democracies. In it, the government would have been trusted to the majority. But that would amount to making the church a human society and not the family founded by God. And Mother is that way. She's straightforward. And I even think of the example of the St. John Vianney, who we just had as a feast day. He said, this is what happened to him. And Mother does the same thing with her contemplative nuns. The Kurovs did it without doing anything but being holy and spending hours in front of the tabernacle. He attracted crowds from all parts of the world to the little-known village. And you know, Jesse, St. Teresa did the same thing. She died of tuberculosis. And what did she do in the convent? She transformed millions of people with her prayers. And so Mother Miriam is on the radio. She's praying for families. That's their charism. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about her order and her walk into the church. Because we, Jesse and I, were both there when she came in from being a Jewish convert. We were all excited. Hey, before we do that, I just want to make one more plug. We talked yesterday about Jesse Romero's little article, about 28 pages. It's a good size article on the liturgy, the extraordinary form and the ordinary form. If you still want to get that.
It's worth reading, right, Terry?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's why I'm bringing it up again, brother. Go to jesseromero.com or virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and we'll get you a copy of that because, with our liturgy conference coming up on the 15th of March, the Adoramus conference, I'm telling you, if you don't understand the liturgy, you miss everything. It's the way you worship is the way you believe. So it's so important. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to sign up to that conference on the March 15th with Father Fessio by calling 877-526-2151 or going online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Up
Terry,
next,
also,
Mother Miriam. Yes, Jess.
The month of February is the month to focus on the Passion of the Christ. Just remember that.
I love it.
Up next, who's up next?
Mother Miriam, our friend and our partner in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We'll be right back.
Terry.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We have Mother Miriam on the phone. Mother, are you there with us? Hello, Mother. Okay, we're having a little technical difficulty.
So let's talk a little bit about her before we get her on.
Well, set the stage, Jess, because you know.
Derek, this is one of the, in my opinion, she's one of the most influential women in the Catholic Church.
I agree.
In our lifetime.
Yep.
Her and Mother Angelica, and I'll tell you why, because both of them are very motherly, very maternal, very nurturing.
That's right.
But they're also very forthright.
Yep.
They're very, you know, there's an old saying I heard Mother Angelica saying, and this fits perfectly with Mother Miriam. Mother Angelica says, if somebody tells you the truth, they love you. If somebody does not tell you the truth, they do not love you.
Amen.
And when you hear Mother Miriam speaking,
they'll tell you.
You could tell that she loves people. This is a woman that has a heart full of love, and she's so forthright when she teaches the Catholic faith, but she's so maternal.
Exactly.
And it's a gift, Harry. It really is. It's a gift. Very few people have the ability to do what she does.
I agree, Jesse.
Again, you know, she just got an incredible background. She came from an evangelical, she came from Jewish roots through evangelicalism.
That's right.
To a Catholic apologist and out of a Catholic nun of her own order.
Exactly. Well, I think we have Mother on now. Mother, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I thought we had her on. My engineer gave me a thumb up, but not yet. And Jesse, let me just mention something about Mother also. Her charism is dealing with the people who are at family life. They're trying to help people out. Oh, there goes. Maybe we got Mother now.
Hello.
Mother Miriam, Terry Barber, and Jesse Romero. Welcome, my friend.
Oh, my dear, dear soldiers of Christ. I love you both. I absolutely love you. It is an honor for me. I'm getting an echo back. I'm talking to myself, but that's quite all right. It's just such a happiness for me and an honor to be with you.
Well, it's mutual, Mother. Mother, tell us a little bit.
We think the world about you, Mother.
We do, Mother. We just set the stage, and I want you.
Thank you.
I want people to know about your religious order and what the charism is, and what are you doing, and how are you helping the Catholic Church with your order and also with your radio ministry?
Well, let me tell you this. I'm not quite sure on how to answer that. my whole life,
yes.
Now, I don't know if any of your technicians can help the echo on your end. But
yeah, I'm trying to get the engineer. I can hear a little echo, but we're trying to get it straightened out right now.
Yeah, no, it's loud. Okay, I'll just keep talking through it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk over myself. Okay. Through my whole life, in my Jewish background, through 18 years of evangelicalism trying to save Catholics to the Catholic Church, yeah. I've been convinced that the family is God's number one design to build his kingdom.
Amen.
And therefore, the enemy's number one target to destroy. His tactic of destruction used to be subtle, and now it's an all-out war.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
think there's too many things that are subtle anymore.
Well said.
Nope. And so, when I was looking into the Catholic Church, well, let me tell you two things prior.
Go ahead.
As a Jewish girl of 19, mm-hmm. it was the miniskirt era in New York, and I only knew there were two people in the world, Jews and non-Jews. I had a very broad upbringing. We never heard anything negative about non-Jews, just non-Jews. We never even said Christians. We didn't know what that word meant. We thought it was a nice word for non-Jews. We didn't know. But when I was 19, in the middle of the miniskirt era, we heard the news that nuns had permission to shorten their habits to knee length. And I thought it was a religious accommodation to the miniskirt era because I didn't even know the word habit. And it was the miniskirt era, and I thought that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard that news, a knife went through my heart, an electric bolt. I never forgot it. It
wow.
paralyzed me for a second. And I thought, whoever these nuns are, they're out in the street teach the world about God. This mm-hmm. is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, alas, the world has affected them instead of they're affecting the world.
Yep.
I didn't know about Vatican II. I didn't know about modified. I didn't know about anything. But it had nothing to do with me, and yet it was my deep and immediate loss.
Wow.
Something I never forgot. And then, let's see, a few years later, mm-hmm. I don't know how many, I have to count. I became an evangelical Protestant at the age of 32.
Mm-hmm.
My first Bible study was taught by an ex-priest who was taught by all that.
Yeah.
So I learned that the Catholic Church was you'll excuse the expression, but I know you've heard it, the Whore of Babylon.
Of course.
Satan's system, false religious system teaching, leading millions astray. So for the next 14 of my 18 evangelical Protestant years, I tried to save every Catholic and bring them into a true personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, God sent a second holy shock through my heart. It was listening to the troublemaker named Scott Hahn. And when I listened to him, he said that those who will look into the claims of the Catholic Church, 2,000 years of church history, the church fathers, he said, to that one will come, these are Scott's words, a holy shock and a glorious amazement to find out that what he's been fighting and trying to save people from, that was me, was in fact the Church Christ established 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
At that moment, Terry and Jesse,
thank me.
The holy shock, the electric shock that ripped through my heart as a 19-year-old, ripped through my heart again as a 46-year-old.
Wow.
And I knew on the spot, against every desire of my heart, if I did not look into the claims of the Catholic Church, I'd be turning from God. I still believe the Catholic Church was Satan's system, but I'm not going to turn from God. Forget that one. And I spent almost 5 years looking into the Catholic Church. The first 2 years, I was teaching women as head of women's ministries for an evangelical Protestant church in California, and I was secretly studying at night at 1 to 3 a.m., everything Catholic I could get my hands on, until I knew too much. I still didn't believe it. I still couldn't imagine believing it, but I knew too much, and I knew that I could not continue teaching at my Protestant church, telling everybody that baptism merely gets you wet. If in fact, it is the method of salvation God has chosen. So I left the Catholic Church. I went to New York. I took a waitress job, and I read my way into the church. But let me say this. On my way to New York, I met with my best friend, only four people in the world I told I was looking into the Catholic Church. I met with my best friend. We were in a big salad place in California. And she said to me, because she was an evangelical, and she looked at me and she said, Rosalind, my name, Roz, if you become Catholic, you're not going to be a nun, are you? And I said to her, I never thought of that. Who ever thought of that? But the thought thrilled me, and I said to her, Beth, can you see me walking through this salad place in a black and white habit to the floor? I said, even if people think I'm a medieval wacko, they have to think of God. No matter what they think of God, they have to think of God.
Amen.
So, dear brothers,
From
that moment, I have never stopped. I never imagined being a Catholic, worst thing in the world. But I longed to be assigned to God in the world. So God brought me into the church with the biggest desire of my heart to return the hemline to the floor and the habit to the world as the glorious sign to God that it is. Here I am. Blessed be his name.
Thanks be to God. Wow.
Let me make a couple of observations, Mother. This is Jesse. We were pretty close in proximity. I grew up down the street from John MacArthur's church. I was born and raised in that neighborhood.
That led me to Christ.
Yep. Sun Valley, right there. It's called, that big, humongous
Grace
church
Community.
In Sun Valley. Grace Community. Yeah. I went to San Fernando High School, which was about, it's not that far away from MacArthur's church.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very familiar with that neighborhood and that ministry. And also, another thing that, really something triggered when you talked about your returning to the faith is, the fact is that as what you're doing, or you're trying to bring back what Scott Hahn calls realized eschatology. What does that mean? A lot of people, especially after the sexual revolution, they forgot that there's a power in virginity, in chastity.
That's right.
And in fact, there's such a power in it that in heaven, we're all going to be reconstituted virgins forever. And so you and other nuns and priests that live out your vocation, you've tapped into something that's going to be realized in all the saints in heaven. And I just salute you for it because, again, you're ahead of the curve, Terry.
Yeah, Mother, I'm
salute God for that one. Thank God for that one, because I didn't do it. But every time I think of how I love God, how I believe, and all the chaos going on in the world, I say, why me? Why did he pour his love and grace on me?
Yep.
I didn't deserve it like no one does.
Mother Miriam, my phone here is getting burned up with calls, with texts, people saying, thank you, you're my Catholic grandma. All kinds of thanking people. They said, we love to have
you. What do you mean, grandma? Hold on.
They called you grandma. It says right here. Well, I'm a grandpa now, so I don't have a problem with me there. But anyhow, hey, mother, what about when, and I'm backing this up because a lot of these people have heard you on Immaculate Heart Radio, Relevant Radio, like us, both of us, Jesse and myself, were on the radio, and we were with you, and we had a lot of exposure on Catholic radio. A lot of people liked us, and obviously, you know, they let us go for whatever reasons, and you're now still doing Catholic radio with the Station of the Cross, which is carrying our program. You're continuing to do your ministry there. I just want to say that for those who are listening and or maybe not Catholic, when you hear someone talk like this, you know what I noticed about you, Mother, is that you were willing to do whatever it took to find out the truth. And I think that is the key in many converts.
Nothing else matters.
Nothing else. I've heard you say that. And I just want to encourage anyone who's thinking like maybe a fallen away Catholic, thinking, wow, is the Catholic Church really true? Yes. And you researched it. You did your homework. And Mother, you also were on the staff of Catholic Answers for several years, were you not?
9 years. 9 years as a full-time apologist.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Well,
you have fond memories of that experience,
I
right?
I bet you do.
Oh, you know what? Carl Keating, who's the founder of Catholic Answers, is my hero. Christopher Check, who's
another
now
great
the
guy.
President, is as outstanding as they come.
Yep.
And that is as outstanding and apostolate, trustworthy as I can imagine.
Yeah, we're always referring
I'm grateful.
People. Yeah, we always refer people to Catholic Answers. And now, Mother, tell us a little bit more. As you moved along in your walk with Jesus and you came into the church, what got you motivated to actually, say, I'm gonna become a nun? I know that you talked about when you were a young 19-year-old and seeing how that happened with the nuns, you know, compromising their habit. But what was it that pulled at you? And I don't want you to answer the question until we come after the break. This is a teaser, everybody, because I'd like to know what motivated you to say, I'm going to have my own order. And I'm telling you, that doesn't happen very often. So when we come back, Mother Miriam's going to share with us her love for Jesus Christ and her and the bride, his church. And we're going to find out about her religious calling to the nunnery. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Karstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God, Blue Collar Catholic Radio. This is the Terry and Jesse Show.
Yep.
We've got Mother Marian, our favorite nun.
She's on
with us. We were in a network together for many years, but we were all dutifully dismissed.
That's a nice one.
But we've got Mother Marian here right now. We're talking about her ministry and her calling. Mother, you're sharing a little bit about the fact that your passion was to, once again, when you looked at the miniskirts back in the 60s and 70s over in New York, and you said, you know what? And then you contrasted that with the life of a nun.
Yep.
This is what, I guess there was a seed that was planted very early on where you said, there's something right about this monastic life. And eventually you were called into it, and now you're the Mother Superior of your own order, correct?
Well, yes. I never described that there was something right about religious life, but I guess I did. What I believed was something wrong about what they were doing. I didn't know anything about them, but if you're in the world to affect the world for God, why go toward the world instead of having the world go toward you? That was my impression as a 19-year-old Jewish girl, not knowing anything. Mm-hmm. And many nuns today, many sisters will say that wasn't the case at all. After Vatican II, they weren't trying to become like the world. And I believe them for all kinds of reasons. They modified the habit or jettisoned it altogether. It's awful. And so, Terry, you said, what made me want to become a nun?
Yes, I
didn't want to become a nun.
I love it.
I did not want to become a nun.
I love it.
And I didn't want to become a Catholic. And here I am, a Catholic nun.
Yep.
I just wanted to be assigned to God in the world. And when I was on staff with Catholic Answers,
yes,
I did 50 conferences a year.
Wow.
I was on planes every weekend somewhere. And as I walked through the airport, it struck me, what a waste. I'm walking through the airport looking like everyone else. But if I were in a habit, I'd at least be assigned to God.
That's right.
Wanted to be in a habit, but I didn't want to be a nun. And many people would say to me, are you a nun? In regular clothes. See?
Yes.
People say to me next to the on the plane,
yep,
are you a nun? I said, no, what makes you think that? I didn't want to be a nun. And the reason is because I need to tell the world of Jesus. I live to put my arms around the world. And I think if you become a nun, they put you away. I don't want to be put away. And so people would say, but there are active orders. I said, yeah, but it's a trick. They still put you away for a few years. I didn't want to be put away. I've been on my own since I'm 17.
Mm-hmm.
I ran two companies in New York before I was a Christian. I don't want anybody controlling me or telling me what to do. So becoming a nun or a sister is just out of the question.
I love it.
I wanted to wear a habit.
Yeah.
And I spoke to a few people, a few superiors of orders.
Yes.
And every single one said they think that I have a call, but I was too old for them or something else.
Yeah.
Finally, I met with Father Groeschel. The desire, I never thought of starting an order, but with talking with Father Groeschel, he said, I think you need to start your own. Forget joining anything. You need to start your own. And so this grew in me, and I said, you know, I checked out joining different orders, but I didn't fit into their charism.
Yeah.
Because either they didn't have a long habit to the floor, or what they thought about the family was not just what I thought. And if I was going to do this, I wanted to give my whole life to it. And so by God's providence, I told Archbishop Burke, when he was Archbishop of St. Louis mm-hmm. in 2007, I was still on staff with Catholic Answers, and I went to him. I met with him in St. Louis, and I said, "Your Grace, I don't know if this is a calling to religious life or a psychological hang-up, but I live 24/7 to put my arms around the world. I have no other desire." And I said, "If I'm here," I was a jail chaplain for 10 years. "If I'm at the jail," I say, "well, what about the people over there? If I'm in Los Angeles, well, what about the people in China? I'm the Messiah. I have to save the world. I can't be in one spot." So, and he looked at me and he said, "I think it's a calling." So he invited me to St. Louis mm-hmm. to found this community.
Wow.
And that's how it began in 2008.
Mother, what's the charism of the order?
To help restore God's design for the family.
Amen.
And return the habit to the floor. So we want to, we walk all over the place.
Wow.
Parks, Walmart, anywhere. We take a bell with us out of the street, and we put gas in our car at noon. We ring the bell and go on our knees that the word became flesh. Everywhere.
Awesome. Wow.
You know, Mother, you know what? It's all the people at Catholic Answers, every time I talk to them, they have very fond memories of you. They said you were the... It's like they say about a husband and a wife. They say a husband is the head of the home and the wife is the heart of the home. Pope Pius XII teaches that. Everybody at Catholic Answers, when I talk to them, Tim Staples, Pat Madrigal, they say Mother Miriam was the heart of Catholic Answers, and we haven't been the same since she left. So that's what they all say about
you. Quite a compliment.
Oh, I'm so happy for that. Yeah. What a sweet thing, because I love them so much. And like you, I refer everybody to Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I go way back when Carl first started Catholic Answers when he was an attorney. So I've been supporting them for, I guess, maybe 35, 40 years. But Mother...
Wow, Terry, I'll tell you how far I go back with you.
Uh-oh.
You and St. Joseph Communications helped me into the church.
Okay.
Who's, wow.
Yeah, you did that. You are the one, actually, I ordered the Scott Hahn tapes from you.
That's funny.
And then I listened to them, and they started my journey.
Yeah, well, praise God. Praise God. Any good we do comes from God. We thank him for it. Mother, one of the things that I'm excited about collaborating with you, and let me just back up one note. You and I were in Chicago maybe 3 years ago. We were doing a meeting with a radio network, and you had obviously your habit on, and we were on a similar part of the airport, and you were in your habit. And I can just tell everybody right now, people were coming up to you and saying, "Oh, sister, can I talk to you? Oh, sister, let me tell you this." You were nonstop people coming and saying, "I'm just coming back from Fatima, and this is what I'm doing." And you were like a magnet wearing that habit. And I have a joke. I say, where are the flag? In
I
other
love
words,
it.
Yeah, priest, wear your collar. This is such a
That's
great
it.
Opportunity to reach people with the gospel, and I just want to commend you for doing that. But I want to ask you, as you're doing
your... You don't have to commend me. You couldn't pay me to take it.
Well, I just want to say thank you for... How about if I say thank you for wearing your habit? Can I say that
Thanks
to you?
To God. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Here's my question. You're wanting to help families. I've heard you on the radio for years where people are calling up and asking questions about their marriage, their children.
Yep.
And I'm going to put you on the spot. And you're really good at this. But we have a real problem right now in our education in our country. And I think you made a statement that homeschooling is really the way to go. Is that still your position today?
Oh, absolutely. Because God has given children to parents as a steward.
Yes.
And when they stand before God, the schools, neither the schools, even if they're Catholic schools, or the church, will be responsible for those children. They will be accountable for what they've done and failed to do. But it is the parents who are given the stewardship over that children. Read the whole Old Testament. Parents don't give their children away. And if you're going to give your children away, whether it's preschool on, to other people to teach and raise, you are forfeiting your vocation. And if you have to work and you have no choice, you need to be absolutely be sure who you're putting your children in the hands of.
Mother, why don't you really tell me what you think? I love it. You know what? Straight talk Catholicism.
You know,
That's it.
Let me just say one more thing. Look at what's going on in the schools today.
Absolutely.
the book that was written 2 years ago, Get Your Children Out Now, it's too late. If your children are still in public school,
yes,
they are being forced now through public schools. You can't mention Christ, but you must memorize the Muslim prayer of honoring Allah.
Ridiculous.
Otherwise, you fail. I've read that. And even in Catholic schools, one Catholic called me on the radio program, the Catholic man head of in teaching in a Catholic school, and they were preparing the children for communion, first communion.
Yes.
And one little boy told the teacher he was a girl, and so he was going to come to Holy Communion in a dress and all of that. And the teacher went to the bishop, and the bishop said, "That's fine, let him do that. Everyone has their choice." It's just insane.
It is insane.
It's absolutely the smoke of Satan in the church.
Absolutely.
And the only way to know your children will be safe is to homeschool them, no matter what you have to do, or make sure there's a private Catholic school that is top.
Yep. Well said. Jesse?
Yeah, that's the point that we're reaching right now. There's a diabolical disorientation that's occurring in the church right now, especially amongst families and in society. And Sister Lucia, that's the term she actually used in a letter, diabolical disorientation. And it's
she
just
said
good.
The last battle will be against marriage
that's right.
and the family.
That's right.
And we're seeing it.
You got it. And Mother, when we come back from the break, I want to ask you about your advice for married couples, not just with the children, but how to stay married. Now, I'm a big guy for Fulton Sheen, his book, Three to Get Married. That's what I tell people to read. And
I give that to everyone getting married.
I didn't know that, Mother, but it doesn't surprise me. But when we come back, let's talk a little bit about how Catholic families with their marriages need to stay together when we have this crisis of family. We have a crisis in the church, obviously, but we also have a crisis regarding family life. What advice would you give mom and dad today?
Okay.
And that's what we want to talk about when we come back. Jesse, I want to just recommend Father Joe Fessio's coming to town here to do the Adoramus Conference on the 15th of March. I want people to come to that because the way you worship is the way you believe. And one more plug, Jesse. Yeah. Tell us about your booklet we talked about yesterday, The Two Forms of the Mass. And
yeah, I wrote a book. I wrote a free PDF page. Download. It's called The Two Forms of the Mass. If you can get it, you can get it from JesseRomero.com. It's on my front page, or you can get it from VMPR.org. It's called The Two Forms of the Mass. It's basically my thoughtful analysis of 20 years of looking at the Novus Ordo Mass, the Latin Mass, and comparing them side by side. I think it's food for thought. Yeah, it's good food for thought.
We'll be back with Mother Miriam on the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back. Jesse's got some technical problems. This has been fun today. We've had so many technical problems. We're going to have to invite Mother back again because she's wonderful. And Mother Miriam, awesome. I asked you a question about the family because that's what your charism is, part of, you know, of your order. And Mom and Dad, the divorce rate is so high. What advice would you give to moms and dads in regards to marriage and also, you know, we have the scripture that says the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband. And, you know, we have all these scripture things, but what advice would you give Mom and Dad in the sense of sticking out and actually having a beautiful marriage? And obviously you're a nun, but I've heard you give advice that's beautiful. What advice would you give to Mom and Dad today?
I would say for those young people looking into marriage, be sure you really prepare. Mm-hmm. If you live together before marriage, your marriage will fail 99% of the time. So know that. Mm-hmm. And if you're living together, separate for no less than 6 months before you get married and pure. Mm-hmm. Priests need to know who they're marrying. And so many people that call in, their marriages are bad because the priests marry them and they should not have married them.
Right.
And so it has to be a proper preparation for marriage. Most marriage preparation programs today are extremely poor. So that's number one. Understand, couples, that when you're married, that is your vocation. A wife, if she marries, even if she's a lawyer, even if she's an accountant, whatever her so-called career is, it's no longer her vocation. If she marries, her number one vocation is being a wife and mother. And the same thing with a husband. He's the provider of the family, but his number one vocation is being that, a husband and a father. And so when two people get married, they need to know that together their vocation is to get one another to heaven.
Amen.
And to be saints. Mm-hmm. In order to live their faith, in order to raise a Christian, a Catholic household, because children will not learn what you tell them. They will learn what they see. And so Archbishop Chaplin years ago said, the greatest gift a father could give his children is to love their mother.
Amen.
Because children learn what they see. If they see love, they'll learn love. If a mother, and the reverse, the greatest gift a mother can give her children is to love their father. Because if they see, if a mother dotes on her children mm-hmm. and disrespects her husband, the children learn about marriage. They will not learn about love. They will not be happy with the mother's love. They will only be happy and feel secure when they see mother and father kissing in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So to begin with, married couples, don't put your children first. Put one another first, and that way the children will know they're secure. Live the faith at home. Pray every night. Pray in the morning. Parents, learn how to bless your children. Don't put anything before living the faith at home. I help families set up a prayer table where the father can lead the family in prayer. And when I do that, I go into homes, the father says, no. My wife is better at it. And I say, I understand that. I don't know what God had in mind, but it's your vocation.
Yeah.
You are the head of the home.
Amen.
You lead the family in prayer, not your wife. And your wife is to be the heart of the home. And the children must be taught at home. Whether you send them out to school or not, it matters not. Mm-hmm. Because what they're going to learn in school, whether it's a public school or a Catholic school or anything else, is truncated and maybe distorted. Well, you must teach in the faith at home, no matter where you send them to be educated. So I would say mothers, many mothers go out and they minister in the church. They're sacristans, they're youth ministers, they're all kinds of ministers, and their children are in school or something else. Mothers, I wish I could shout this from the moon. Go home. Stop your ministry in the church. It is Satan's tool to ruin the family by having you do good Catholic things, because he knows you're not going to go to sinful things. It is his design to destroy the family, to keep parents busy. Mother's night out with her friends, father's night out, father's weekend away, ministry, all these good things, and the children are spiritual orphans. Mothers, go home and stay home, and the children will learn their faith and that God is with them, not absent in all kinds of activities. I should stop. I could go on.
Mother, I'm going to say a big amen, a big amen. And I also want to add what Fulton Sheen. Go ahead.
Most Catholics haven't heard what Mother
Mary said. No, this is straight talk. I mean, this is it.
And I'll be honest with you, because the pulpits have been silent about this issue that Mother just talked about for decades.
Yes.
For decades.
Yeah.
And there's about three people that I've heard say what you've said. Okay. Steve Wood, he's got a book on fatherhood. He has a whole chapter on the Industrial Revolution, the way it started destroying the family by making women become professionals.
Yep.
He's the first person I heard talk like this. I also heard, there's a new book that came out, or it's from Tim Gordon. He's a young Catholic philosopher. Mm-hmm. He just wrote a whole book on this. The feminist movement was started by the Industrial Revolution, and the whole thing about, I am woman, watch me roar. He talks about the way all that developed.
How awful.
And yeah, many Catholic women have just bought into that. And so, Mother, you're saying something that was commonly talked about even by the popes before Vatican II, about keeping wife at home, about knowing the lanes of authority, the man's the head, the wife is the heart. That language has been muddied in the last couple of decades because there's been a backlash because of radical feminism. And a lot of Catholics are just saying, well, I'm just going to stay home and watch ESPN, the dads. I'll let the woman do all the spiritual stuff. The women is basically becoming the priest of the home without having the authority from Christ. And that's just a mess when you start doing that, when there's an inversion of roles. Terry?
Yeah, Jesse, Ignatius Press also has a book on feminism. Donna Steichen wrote it back in the 1980s. I would recommend that too. Very well done about the nuns.
Something
actually.
Rage. Huh?
Yeah, outrage. Right. That's the one I read.
Ungodly Rage.
Ungodly Rage. Very good book.
Ungodly Rage.
Very well done. But Mother, I want to also add something that Fulton Sheen said, that he said this to all men, to every woman: your marriage will not last because you're strong. Your marriage will last because you have the power to renew it. Just like Mother renews her religious vows, we need to renew our marriage vows often. And I know people, when I give talks, I bring my wife with me, and I say, Mary, do you ever get tired of me saying that I recommit my marriage covenant to you? Of course she says no. Mm-hmm. And then, see, here's my point, everybody. You're having challenges. Say to your husband, let's go for a walk, or your wife, let's go for a walk. And renew that marriage bond often, not on your 25th and your 50th. I'm a little over the top. I do it at least once a month. And what it does for me...
Nuns have to renew their vows every year.
Okay, well, there you go, Mother. It works for you, too. It's called... It's all tied into our baptism. But, Mother, final thoughts I wanted to ask. What can we lay people do to pray for your order, to pray for your ministry? Is there a way that people can support you financially? Because I really want people to support what you're doing. Is there a website?
Bless you. No. Yeah, let me give you the website.
Sure.
www.motherofisraelshope.org.
Okay. One more time.
The name of our community is Daughters of Mary, mm-hmm. Mother of Israel's Hope. So either way, you'll get on. And there's a donate button there.
Good. Good.
But let me ask you one more thing.
Absolutely. Beloved.
We have been put out of Tulsa. We're living here now legally, but we cannot go forward.
Oh, no.
Just like we were put off Relevant Radio. And so we have been looking for a bishop in a home for 3 years. I've never announced this before.
Okay.
28 bishops have said no to us because of our program on Station of the Radio, Station of the Cross, rather, and LifeSite News.
Right.
I think bishops are just afraid today to speak the truth clearly.
Well said.
It's a grievous thing, but that's where we're at. And if God ever wants us to have a courageous bishop, a courageous Orthodox bishop, and a new diocese, we can pack up yesterday and come there. So
we'll pray for that.
I ask to pray for God's will on that one.
Yes. Yes.
Mother, let me just mention something from my heart. Years ago when I started getting involved in apostolic work, you know, I was so into the Catholic Protestant, answering Protestant their questions, and they're defending the church and doing conferences and apologetic conferences, and then answering atheists and coming back with good Thomistic arguments, and then, you know, debating the secular humanists and debating more relativists, and even getting involved in, you know, in the five non-negotiables, how to vote as a Catholic. And you know what? I feel kind of like a fool because I've been so zealous for like 25 years, and I don't regret it, but I've been blind to see all the problems with the infiltrators, modernists, and Masons, and dissenters in the church. I feel like I've been fighting for 25 years with full intensity, and I've been getting shot in the back by my own people. And now that I've been finding out that, wow, the true Church of Jesus Christ, we've got some imposters, we got some infiltrators, especially after reading Taylor Marshall's book, my eyes were even opened up even more.
Yeah.
I feel like, Lord, help us.
All that, Mother. We're on the same page with you.
Now we're fighting a two-front war. Now we only have the secular humanists and the relativists on one end.
Yeah.
Now we got the infiltrators inside our own church. That are trying to us.
Jesse, you told everybody to come into the church, and they did.
We're going to keep fighting, Mother, for the truth. And you know what? Yep. The perennial teachings of the church will never change, no matter what.
And they cannot.
Absolutely.
And they cannot.
Mother Miriam, thank you so much for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. We're so grateful the Station of the Cross is allowing us to rebroadcast your show. We love you too, Mother. We'll be praying for God's will to be manifested moment by moment.
Yep.
God love you. Thanks so much.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
now.
For having me on.
You bet. Our pleasure. Jess, wasn't that inspiring to hear Mother speak like that?
Yeah, we're on the same page, Terry.
Oh, yeah. Jesse, I was going to tell Mother, what state should we be living in? If she was still here, she'd say, the state of grace. And what would she say when we said, what state shouldn't we be living in?
She would tell you, don't live in the state of mortal sin.
That's what she'd say, too.
Yep. She would tell you to pick up your five stones. She'd tell you to pray your rosary every day. She'd say, go to Mass often as possible.
Amen.
She would tell you, read your Bible every day.
Yep.
She would tell you to start doing penance on Fridays.
Yep.
And Wednesdays and Fridays if you want to go old school. And she would tell you to go to confession if you're in mortal sin. And if you want to just want a maintenance, go once a month just to stay in a state of grace.
Hey, man, tomorrow, Jesse and I are going to take President Trump's State of the Union address and see how it lines up with Catholic teachings. We'll be back with much more tomorrow, same time. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.